Thank you, ladies. That ending phrase there on that last screen, once for all, he rescued me. And as we come together on this great and glorious day to praise our God, to love our Savior for how he sacrificed himself there to pay for the penalty of sin, it's a great time for us. We enjoy and just have looked forward to this day to be able to once again proclaim the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Christ is the cornerstone of Christianity, for without a risen Savior, it'd be just like so many other religions. They have a tomb, and there is a body that is in that tomb. But the tomb of Jesus Christ is empty, because today he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And so as we realize, we agree with the Apostle Paul when he wrote in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." And as we come together today, we're going to see that there's going to be plenty of undeniable evidence that Jesus Christ did rise from the dead. And so as we sing this next song, and we're going to sing it congregationally, listen to these words and the praises that have been given here in musical form. If you want to turn in your songbook, it's number 273. The song is "Christ the Lord is Risen Today." And so as we sing on this song, let those words speak to your heart. Let's all stand together as Josh comes to lead us.
Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. Sons of men and angels say, alleluia. Raise your voice and triumphs high. Alleluia. Sing ye heavens and earth reply. On the third, love's redeeming work is done. Alleluia. Fought the fight, the battle won. Alleluia. Death in vain forbids him rise. Alleluia. Christ hath opened paradise. Alleluia. Soar we now where Christ has led. Alleluia. Following our exalted head. Alleluia. Made like him we rise. Alleluia. Ours the cross, the grave, the skies. Alleluia.
You may be seated. That last verse of that song tells us here some of the great words, as today we're looking at then this message of that empty tomb. Because we'll get to the scriptures here in just a moment, but it says, "Soar we now where Christ has led, following our exalted head. Made like him we rise. Ours the cross, the grave, and the skies." That indwelling work of the Lord Jesus Christ has done a great work for us, and we are so thankful for that. And so as we see here on our screen, this is the scriptures that I'm going to be reading today out of Mark chapter 16. One of the accounts of the resurrection here, and one of all four of the Gospels include this in their books. But follow along there as we read, whether it's in your Bible or up there on the screen. But the Bible says that when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were afraid. And he saith unto them, Be not afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goes before you into Galilee. There shall you see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. As we realize this great story and a great account of the resurrection of Christ, the tomb was empty. But there's a message of that empty tomb as we come together and we look at these passages again today. And as we see that Christ the Lord has risen, let me just get through some of this here real quickly. The song that we just sang. And we see that not everyone, though, that day believed what had happened when they found the empty tomb. You know, even the disciples were having a problem with that when the women came back that we just read about. And they came back and told him that he had risen from the dead. And they thought the women were talking of just some old wives' tales. They thought they were crazy. When the soldiers went to their supervisors, which were the chief priests and the religious leaders, and they said how an angel had come and rolled that stone away, they said, okay, wait a minute. Here's the story we're going to tell you. Here's the spin that you need to put on this story, because we cannot have this kind of a story hitting the streets. And so the chief priest told them to say that they had fallen asleep. And while they slept then, Jesus' disciples came and stole the body away. And that then became the official story. We read it in our Gospels. That became the official thing that anybody was hearing about. If they said, oh, hey, did you hear about that resurrection thing that happened the other day? Oh, no, wait a minute. Here's the story. The real thing is that the soldiers fell asleep, and while they were asleep, somebody came and stole his body. That's what people were being told. But you know what? Anyone who lived in that day would realize that that thing's a fabrication. Because the chief priest put that spin on it. Because if those soldiers were sleeping, how would they know what had happened? How would they know who had come if they're asleep? How many things do you know what's going on in your house if you're asleep? You may think you do, but you know when you're sleeping, you don't know what's going on. And secondly, then, if they were asleep, but maybe one of the soldiers was awake. Just one, you know, taking his turn. He's on duty. The other guys are over on the sides taking a nap. Well, he would have alerted the others if there would have been some grave robbers coming to steal that body. But the clincher of that all was, if they were really sleeping as Roman soldiers in the first century, and they were caught on duty sleeping, they didn't live to tell anybody the story. That was an automatic execution because of dereliction of duty. But the Gospels tell us that they were bribed to tell that story. And that the chief priests said that they would cover for them with the governor and with their military commanders. So then people of that day, they would Google what had happened there at that cemetery, and they would find out, well, the soldiers fell asleep, and his disciples came and stole his body. But there's really a lot of evidence of the truth of the resurrection. Even if we don't consider the evidence that was there at the scene, you know, even with those soldiers supposedly sleeping, they wouldn't have been too far away from the door of that tomb. And the women, as they came, they said, who's going to roll the stone away for us? And as they realized there was about four of them, and they weren't going to be strong enough to roll away the stone, so there's going to be several men that were going to have to roll away that stone. And when you're rolling a big stone, round stone, on a stone base, there's going to be crunch and sound and noise. And that didn't wake up those soldiers who were sleeping. And so even that. And then when they would get enough of the stone rolled open so that they could get it, go in and steal the body, they're not going to take time to unwrap the head wrappings, fold them up neatly, and set them down, which is what they discovered when they arrived to find the empty tomb. So the story of the fabrication is just full of unbelievable parts to it. But the Apostle Paul does give us a witness and a rundown here of the witnesses in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is a great chapter for the resurrection of Christ. And he's telling us about some of those things there, how the lives of the disciples were changed. And in that 1 Corinthians 15, as he tells us, you know, first of all, Christ showed himself to Cephas. That was Peter. And that was during the afternoon of the resurrection. Then he showed himself to the 12. And then after that, he showed himself up in Galilee to over 500 brethren at one time. And after that, then, he showed himself to James. And then to all of the apostles again. And Paul finally said, and last of all, he showed himself to me, which was sometime later on when the apostle Paul was saved. So there's plenty of evidence of the truth of the resurrection. The lives of those disciples was radically changed after that time. Before that, they were cowards. After the resurrection, they were so bold. These men would now risk their lives. And would they risk their lives for the big lie that the disciples had stolen the body? They stuck to that resurrection account for over 30 years until each one of them met their death because of standing true to the faith in Jesus Christ. In those early chapters of the book of Acts, which follows the Gospels then, we see thousands of people being saved through the preaching ministry of those disciples. Whereas before, they couldn't even stand against a servant girl identifying one of them as being with Jesus the night that Peter denied Christ three times. But on that day of Pentecost, 3,000 people were saved. That was some 50 days after the resurrection. A few days later after that, Peter and John were heading up to the temple in the afternoon, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, to pray. It was the hour of prayer. And there was a crippled man who everyone knew. He sat there, he laid there every day, asking people to give him a little bit of alms, a little bit of money. And that day Peter looked on him, said he fastened his eyes on him. He said, "Silver and gold have I none, but that which I give unto thee. Rise in the name of Jesus Christ." And Peter took a hold of that fella and pulled him up, and that crippled body that he had, now he could jump and dance, and he was screaming and shouting for all the joy that he was experiencing. And that got the attention of everyone that had come. Thousands of people were coming to the time to pray, and now they see this fellow over there, and they go to see what that was and what had happened. And Peter then begins a spontaneous message about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that day, then 5,000 men were saved, according to Acts 4, chapter 4, verse 4. But the priest arrested them. The priest and the temple police arrested those two apostles. And they took them then to the next day where they stood before the entire Sanhedrin. And Peter said, "What good deed do you bring us here today? Because what we did was in the name of Jesus Christ." And they realized, you know, we really can't say anything about this. We can't say anything against it. They knew there had been a resurrection. But they couldn't let that account get out. And so they threatened them to not speak anymore in the name of Jesus. But Peter said on that day, sorry that the screen's not showing up there, but Acts 4:12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." That verse is on the back wall here. You might be able to take a look at it as you leave. But Peter then said, when he'd been threatened, and this shows the change that had taken place in this man's life. And another verse that just a short time later says, Acts chapter 4, verse 20, when they'd been threatened, they said, "Well, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." That is evidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because Christ said, "I must go away, and when I go away, I'll send the Holy Spirit back to you." And these men are now ministering in the power of the Holy Spirit. The lives of those men were changed forever because of the resurrection. They could not but share the account of that with others because Jesus was alive and they had seen him many times. They had a peace about themselves that no matter who threatened them, they kept telling the truth. Jesus rose from the dead. And they lived out that truth of Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. that thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. And that phrase at the very end, everlasting strength, in the Hebrew means rock of ages. That Jesus Christ is the rock of ages. And they'd learned how that rock would protect them through all the storms of life. Listen now to our choir, to this song, as it speaks to the sacrifice of Christ as that double cure for sin. Evidence of the resurrection showed a changed life in those disciples to give them great boldness to proclaim the truth of the message that Jesus Christ was alive became that rock of ages for them. But then there's the power of memory also that we begin to see here. As we go through life, we have this thing that we call memory. Sometimes we'd like to forget some things, perhaps. But other times we enjoy remembering a vacation, some time spent with family, perhaps, maybe some special events, a wedding, all kinds of parts of our lives. We like to remember those things. Well, the same happened for those disciples. Early in Jesus' ministry, he visited Jerusalem very often. As a boy, we're told in the Gospels how Christ would go, as was his custom, to Jerusalem with his family, and they would visit. They would visit the temple once they got to Jerusalem. But that first time after he had started his public ministry, he began his ministry up in Galilee. And so he did much up there, but then he went down to Jerusalem for the Passover, the first one after he started his public ministry. And when he got there, he found the money changers were in the temple area where they were not to be. Now, it was okay to have money changers there, because as everyone was coming from across the country to the Passover, they would have to be offering their own sacrificial lamb and take it to the priest for that. When rather than trying to haul or carry that animal from wherever they lived, they would come to Jerusalem, buy one locally, but they would have to get their money changed over, currency exchange, to be able to purchase that there at the temple. And so there was money changers there typically, but they were now in a place that they were not to be. So when Jesus saw that, his first trip there to Jerusalem after he began his public ministry, he drove those men out of there. He tipped their tables over. There were coins rolling everywhere. I'd like to have seen that. Because so many of the pictures and the paintings that we've seen over the centuries of artists trying to paint Christ, some of them I'd like to throw in the trash. They look like some wimpy old, or not old, but they look like some wimpy fellow that might not even be able to, you know, step through a gate somewhere. But Christ that day, with eyes that had determination in them for the holiness of this place, drove those people out of there, drove them away from their money. When you can drive somebody away from their money, there's a reason they want to leave. They're afraid. And he drove them out. But the Jews did say to him that day, "By what authority do you do this?" And he said, "Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up." And they said, "Ha! In 3 days you're going to raise this up? Why, it took 46 years to build this temple." And they were correct. It took a long time. That was the temple that had been built by Zerubbabel when they came back from the 70-year captivity over 500 years before. And when Herod the Great became the Roman king of Palestine, one of the things he liked architecture. And one of the things he liked to do was design and build things or have them built to impress the people over which he was ruling. And so Rome was ruling over the Israelites. And so they took their temple, and some say they actually took it back down to the foundation, and just they made it so much bigger and so much more elaborate. Herod had done a great job in building a beautiful temple for the Jews. But Jesus said, as he spoke of his body, the verse is up there, but you can't see it there right now. He spoke of the temple of his body. "When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said." Memory. There's things that we have heard through all of our life. Maybe those Sunday school stories from so long ago. And the Bible readings or Bible verses that have been given to us over the years, we have heard these things. And memory tells us what had taken place so long ago. The power of memory. It made those disciples remember that Jesus had said, "After 3 days, I will raise it up," because he had spoken about his body. The smartest thing that anyone can do is to believe what Jesus has said. He said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He said he came to give his life a ransom for many. You see, Jesus Christ died on that cross for you and for me, for these choir members, for everyone. He died there for us because there was a sin penalty that we could not pay. And Christ came and he paid that penalty. And he said, "After 3 days, though, I'll raise myself back up." And he did, just as he said. You may remember the movings of your heart from previous times and years. You may remember Bible truths that you have heard in the past, but maybe you shove them to the back of your mind and say, oh, I'm just so busy with life. I'm so busy with raising a family. I'm so busy for the... But you know what? You need to believe what Jesus said. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Today, on this Resurrection Sunday, you need not only to remember, but you need to believe what Jesus said. And as Jesus has said these things, he came across a woman in Acts chapter 4 who was at a well in Samaria. And as he began to talk to her, and as she came out to get some water out of the well to take back to her house, Jesus said, I've got living water for you. Well, she wanted that because he said, you wouldn't have to come to this well anymore. She said, oh, that's the kind of water I want. You know, water that I'll never have to thirst again. But that was not what Christ was speaking about. He's talking about that new life in him. When you trust Christ as your Savior, you have that new life now living within the Holy Spirit. In this church age, the Holy Spirit now comes and indwells the believer. I want to take just a little moment right here for us to sing a little chorus, New Life in Christ. So the words are here on the screen. If you want the songbook, it's number 314. Let's all stand. It's just a little short chorus, New Life in Christ. It's abundant and free. Sing on this little chorus.
Abundant and free, what glory shine, what joys are mine, what wondrous blessings I see. My past with its sin, the searching and strife, forever gone, there's a bright new dawn, for in Christ I have found new life.
You may be seated.
And now then, listen to our choir as they are going to sing, Come Drink from the Well. Because as that woman found out that day that Christ was the Messiah, and she put her faith in him. Listen to this song.
Oh,
when that woman at the well first met Christ and she began to say, well, the Messiah is going to do this, the Messiah is going to do that, she had a lot of correct information. But as she then began to remember what Messiah was going to do and what this man was telling her, then that understanding became full bloom in her heart and she knew that Christ was that Savior. But you know, for those who don't believe that, then there becomes this thing about the terror of regret. That woman probably could have thought, what if I'd gone to the well the day before? I wouldn't have met the Messiah. The terror of regret. So many things in our life that we've seen, you know, we can probably remember. I have some regrets in my life. I regret that I was not spiritually in tune with God's will for my life when I was in high school. It caused a delay through many years of my life. And certainly, having raised several children, we always seem to have regrets of different things that we did there in the raising of those kids. You may have some regrets also. But today is a threshold day. Because every time we come to a place like this, in our calendar, a time like this, and a review of the Scriptures, it's a day that we're crossing a threshold. I don't believe it's by accident that you folks are here in this auditorium and those who have tuned in on the live streaming that you're listening to this message and this service today. Because God has brought you to this point. He's brought the Word of God out in front of you once again. You're hearing the testimony through music. You're hearing the testimony of the Scriptures. And it's not by accident that you're here. This is the day in which we honor the resurrection of Christ. But every time that we are brought to some threshold event in our life, it's important to make the right decision. Those kinds of things come to us often. A threshold, something new, something different that we're now stepping into in our life. And it's important that we make the right decisions, because if we don't, we'll have regrets. For all of these times, those who were involved with Christ, they've ended up either being rejoicing about what God has done in their life, or they've had regrets. You know, we're always famously seeing those three crosses up on Mount Calvary, and there was three crosses up there. The Scriptures tell us how, besides Christ that day, there were two other thieves that were being executed that day. One on one side, one on the other. Jesus was in the middle. And when all of that began, those two thieves there, people were coming by, the priest and the chief priest, the soldiers. They were mocking Christ, but those priests were coming by and said, if you be the Son of God, come down from that, and then we'll believe you. Another ridiculous statement. How many miracles had Christ done over the years of his ministry? And they said, well, if you come down off the cross, we'll believe you then. He'd raised people from the dead just a couple of weeks before. He had raised Lazarus from the dead right there in the Jerusalem area. Christ had done so many miracles. Miracles wasn't going to change anyone's mind. And so they continued while Christ hung on that cross. They continued to throw things, words, accusations at him. And those two thieves, when it all started out, they also were throwing things at Christ, whatever. You know, I don't know what you did to get here on this cross, but you probably deserved it. Whatever it was that they were saying, they both threw things as they hung there next to him. They were both accusing him of different wrongs. As we realize that the Scriptures tell us that, the thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth out of Matthew 27. But as one of those thieves heard everybody coming by saying those things, they also saw his mother standing there at the foot of the cross, Mary. And John, the disciple, was also there. And there was conversation between those three, besides all of the other things that were going on. And then after 3 hours of being on that cross, there was a strange phenomenon that took place. the sky became dark as night. And that undoubtedly began to unnerve a lot of folks. It's the middle of the day. It was noon, and darkness then covered all of that Jerusalem area. And one of those thieves began to realize. I kind of think maybe it was during the darkness. Because it wasn't just some strange passing cloud covering the sun, a thunderstorm or anything like that. I mean, it came and it stayed dark, and yet there wasn't clouds that were there. And this one thief begins thinking, oh, I've heard this, I've heard that. Through all of his pain, he's thinking, wow, I've seen the conversation between him and those people down there. I think this guy probably is who he says he is. And so that one thief in Luke chapter 23 said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, today shall you be with me in paradise. You see, that became a threshold day for that man. The best thing for that man was that he got caught in whatever his crime was, and some judge said, you're going to die on such and such a day. And it was the same day as Jesus Christ being crucified. That was a threshold for him. And if it had been any other time, he would have died and gone into eternity lost. But just like that fellow, for every one of us, this Easter Sunday is a threshold day for you. What are you going to do with that which you have heard today? What is it that you're going to do with the knowledge that you have? Knowledge that you have remembered you had. What are you going to do with how God has allowed you to hear a message once again about sacrifice on a cross, sins that cannot be taken care of by ourselves, but only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ? Is it something you're going to hear once again and say, oh, well, yeah, someday maybe I'll do something about it, but I just don't feel like doing it today? Today's a threshold day. Either you're going to walk through the door of something that you need to do, or you're going to turn around and go where you've always gone before. Some of you are going to keep going the way you have and end up life with that regret of having, and I do believe, when we do, every one of us is going to stand before the Lord. Some as believers, Christians, they'll stand before the Lord as our Savior. Others are going to stand before the Lord as their judge. And I believe that days like this, when gospel presentation was made, people will have the ability to remember how they rejected it. This Easter Sunday is a threshold day. And you, some of you Christians, you need to make it a threshold day for yourself too, about your commitment in living for and serving the Lord. So be like that one thief. Everyone, be like that one thief. Change your direction and then stay on course for the course of living for Jesus Christ. Listen to this last song from our choir this morning. Stay on course.
Resolve no longer to linger. Shine.
And as the angel had told those women who came to that tomb that day, that he's not here, he is risen. He's risen from the dead. Listen to this final song that we're going to play for you called Arise, because that's what Jesus Christ did. So as the message of the empty tomb was that there was forgiveness, there was victory, there was eternal life. And it puts everyone at a threshold. Just as Jesus came out of that tomb and came, I don't know if he came through that door or which way he came out, but every one of us is at a threshold. What are you going to do about that? Are you going to keep on living the way you've been living? Or today, are you going to allow Jesus Christ to begin to change your life? Whether as someone who's never received Christ as Savior, or whether as a believer who just hasn't been kind of following what God would have you in your life. We're going to give you an opportunity here in just a moment to make that decision, to make a response to what God would have you to do. He fulfilled the victory over that penalty of sin there on the cross. And the coming out of the resurrection showed that. He is able then to do whatever needs to be done for you in your life. So are you going to reject him like one of the thieves? Or are you going to turn to him like the other? And so say, Lord, would you begin to do a work in my life? Let's all stand together, shall we please, with heads bowed and eyes closed. Are you going to change the direction of your life today? Whatever that might be for you. If you need to receive Christ as your Savior, we invite you to come here in just a moment as our music is playing, just the way you are. And someone will take the Bible and show you how you can be saved today. You'll not have to worry about whenever death may come for you. Christ has already done that, taken care of it. But you've heard it before. It's in your memory. You've had regrets before. Don't let today be another day of regret by going on in the way that you've been going. Let Christ begin to change your life now. As a Christian, Maybe the last couple of years with pandemic has just been so much easier just to stay off to the side. But you know what? It's time to get busy. It's time to get living for the Lord. Just the way you are, you come today and get some things straightened out with your Lord, because he gave his all for you. Let's serve him out of victory too. We're not going to wait long. If you need to step out, you come right now. We'll wait just a moment. Thank you for being here today, and I appreciate all of our folks who've been faithful and been coming to services here. Appreciate all of you visitors that came today too, some friends, some family members. We're glad to have had you here with us. If you're from the area and you don't have a regular church home, we do this every Sunday at 10:30 in the morning, Sunday school at 9:30. We'd love to have you come and just see what a regular service is like. Not much different than what today. So we want to encourage you, come on back and get your life lined up with God's will so you don't have regrets. Being in a good Bible preaching church will help you, and we want to be able to be that help. Our intern, Josh Bunger, is going to close in prayer for us, and then you'll be dismissed.
Father, thank you for the celebration of today.